Hello and welcome to Civility and Solutions, a podcast brought to you by your Court Services section of the Supreme Court of Ohio. I am your host, longtime justice enthusiast Kate Munger. This is a podcast about inspirational ideas for courts from across our 88 beautiful Ohio counties. Today's topic relates to neutral evaluation. We'll talk about what neutral evaluation is and how it's different from mediation. We'll also discuss how family courts can start a program and how neutral evaluation can help parties solve their disputes. The views expressed by guests to this podcast don't necessarily express the views of the Supreme Court. We are happy to be able to use this platform to share solutions and challenges with courts and with any listeners who want to stay on the cutting edge of dispute resolution and court services issue. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 17. Our topic is Neutral Evaluation Nuts and Bolts, where the process fits in family court dispute resolution. Joining me today are Judge Randall Fuller and Magistrate Rosalind Flores. It is an honor to be with your honors.
Thank you.
Judge Fuller, you are currently the domestic relations judge in Delaware County, but before taking the bench, you were a defense attorney and guardian ad litem. Who was your favorite assistant prosecutor to work with on juvenile cases in Delaware County?
That's a really difficult one because I want to say Judge Hymanowski back in the day, but I'd have to go with Kate Munger. She was so reasonable and wonderful to work with, always looking out for what's best for the citizens and the children.
Oh, that was the correct answer. You're starting off very strongly on this podcast. Thank you. Judge, you majored in agricultural economics at The Ohio State University. Now, agriculture is a bit of a jump from the law. Why did you decide to go to law school?
My father sat me down and talked to me one day when I was about ready to graduate from Ohio State. And he told me that he could tell that I really liked agriculture, but it wasn't a love of mine, and that I should find something that I was really passionate about. And I just so happened to be in a, I think they were called basic education requirements, BERs, at Ohio State back in the time. And I was taking a business law class and I just really enjoyed it and really liked it. And from then on, I've just been fascinated with the law. And I've been very fortunate after that to go to law school and start my own practice. And then now being a judge, it's a dream come true.
And you still have some animals though, don't you?
Currently, no, but my daughter is talking about us getting goats. I previously have had pigs and sheep and cows and chickens, but right now we are animal free.
All right. Well, we are recording this in May 2021, about a year after the pandemic started. What kind of impact did the pandemic have on your court? Are there any changes that you made that you think you might keep even after all the pandemic restrictions are lifted?
Absolutely. But first, I have got to comment on my remarkable team here at the court. We went practically overnight from a brick and mortar, everything in person, everything had to be in blue ink signed and doing very little with remote. Even though we had Zoom back then, we weren't utilizing it that much. To almost overnight, we went to a virtual court where we can do everything virtually and remotely. So nobody has to be at the courthouse. We just have to have the computers on and electricity on and have internet access. And we can do everything from drafting decisions, filing them, getting the clerk to serve them as far as hearing notices, having the hearings done remotely, recorded on our recording equipment for the record, and have evidence brought in, witnesses take testimony, and then draft final decisions all remotely. And it's been an incredible process. I wanted to take our court in this direction. I never thought we'd go at the light speed at which we've gone. And we're going to continue using Zoom or some sort of virtual courtroom setting. Just about 2 weeks ago, I was in a trial, and one party was from testifying from Boston and the other one from Seattle. And you could just tell the cost savings it was for the parties and time savings, because otherwise we would have had to continue that case. We could have it virtually and keep the case progressing. So it is always, for the foreseeable future at least, going to be part of our court system.
Isn't that amazing? Like, yeah, like you say, like just light speed changes in courts.
Yeah, we went from being not able to overcome how to do an electronic signature on a document That was our stumbling block for a long period of time. Then the pandemic hit and we just jumped over that and were able to do everything we didn't even think was possible before. It's been amazing. And the team here has all worked together to make that transition happen.
Making lemonades out of lemons.
Absolutely.
Miller County for you. Well, I want to offer my congratulations. Judge Fuller was recently sworn in as president-elect of the Ohio Association of Domestic Relations Judges. What do you like about being part of the Ohio Association of Domestic Relations Judges?
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to be part of that organization was so that Delaware County could have a seat at the table when looking at legislation that's going through and looking at the leadership of the domestic relations practice throughout the state of Ohio. And just last week or 2 weeks ago, I've lost track of time. I was down at the State House testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee about pending legislation. And so it's very good to be able to be part of the process to make sure that the laws that are being passed have the intended consequences and so the at least be reviewed by the courts and the judges and the different judicial associations to make sure what the intent is actually going to be how it works. So I think it's important to have a seat at that table to be able to look it out for the citizens of Delaware County and how future legislation could impact those citizens.
Well, very cool. Next, I'd like to say hello to Magistrate Roz Flores. Magistrate, you have served as the magistrate in Hamilton County Court of Domestic Relations since 2006. And you're also created and were appointed director of the Dispute Resolution Center of the Hamilton County Court of Domestic Relations. How long has that program been in existence?
In 2014, one of our three judges said, I really want to use your mediation skills. Build me a department. So it took a while, but our official start date is September 2nd, 2015. And when I came to this court, I came from mediation and general civil common pleas. And so I've spent a lot of time just trying to help families stop warring. We started the department officially September 2nd, 2015. And as I was doing my research, I couldn't find other courts that had custody evaluators, guardians ad litems, drug testing, mediation, conciliation. So I was looking for those Fred Astaire steps that you take when you have dancing so I could figure out how to start this. But we just kind of went knowing that we wanted the best interest of the child to always be a part of this court's decisions.
And what have been some exciting things that the Dispute Resolution Center has accomplished in recent years? What kind of services do you offer?
We just started a family visitation center. So those parents, we work in tandem with an agency. So those parents who've had their parenting time stripped or suspended or terminated, whatever verb you want to use, we have a very safe environment where the parent can visit with the child. There's you know, cameras everywhere. So it's a safe environment. And the parents get an opportunity to, they can get better and they can work towards going back to parenting time. So that started in 2019. We've got the drug screens coming through here, all our mediations. We do neutral evaluation. We do parenting coordination. So whatever we can do in this department to help families pre and post decree, we do to try and get them to settle down and take care of the children.
Well, Magistrate Flores, you actually began mediating as a result of a Supreme Court grant for courts. Is that right?
All right. I'm aging myself. Chief Justice Thomas Moyer wanted all courts to have some kind of mediation piece. And so I was part of the Hamilton County Common Pleas Court that started a program over in general civil and then came over here to domestic relations. And we got our training out at the National Judicial College, anything to help a program get up and running, to help families who don't have money always to pay or civil litigation who don't have money to pay for lawyers.
And Magistrate Flores is very involved in training new mediators, both in Hamilton County and at the state level. She is on the Supreme Court Advisory Committee on Language Services. She also serves on the Education Subcommittee of the Supreme Court of Ohio's Commission on Dispute Resolution. And she serves as past president and board member of the Ohio chapter of the Association of Family and Conciliation Courts, which I think Judge Fuller has taken over as president of that.
Taken over. I have passed the baton to the judge.
Passed to the judge. And well, like Judge Fuller, you are so busy and involved, and these positions are volunteer. So it's like public service on top of a career in public service. Why is that a value for you? And why do you think it's important for you to contribute to the profession in this way?
Judge, you want to start?
I'm happy to. And quite honestly, what I've gotten back from putting time into whether it be the Ohio AFCC or serving on committees for the Judicial Conference, I've gotten back so much more than I've put in. It number one, it feels good to try to be involved and try to help out and try to make things better. But the contacts you make, I mean, I remember you're mentioning that Magistrate Flores does the education for the Supreme Court with mediation. I met her for the first time when we were in, she came up to Delaware to do a mediation training. And I stopped out to where she was presenting and met her and talked to her for the first time. And I saw her the second time at a neutral evaluation program she was putting on at the Supreme Court. So I sat one of her presentations about neutral evaluation and went up to her afterwards and talked to her more about the program. And ever since, she's been my lifeline when I've needed answers for mediation, for neutral evaluation, or whatever it is. So just the connections you build in those organizations are so helpful when you're trying to develop new programs and do make a better system for the people that are going through the court system.
And I also believe, in addition to the volunteering and working with Judge Fuller, I think it's important to model good volunteer behavior. Because I think there was a time when we didn't see anybody do anything. Everybody had their head down and were getting work. But when you volunteer, you make the connections and you are able to model for your own staff, for your court, and you can advocate for those needs that need to be addressed in whatever rule of law that you're in.
Well, welcome both of you to the Civility and Solutions podcast. Are you ready to get started with our topic today?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's start with a few basics. Judge Fuller, for those listeners unfamiliar with the area of law, what are we talking about when we talk about family court cases? How do those cases get initiated?
The interesting thing I found, I became judge in 2017. Before that, Delaware County did not have a unified domestic relations court. So before that, if you were married, you went through the general division. If you're unmarried, you'd go through the juvenile court division. And Delaware County, because of our size and growth, it was necessary to create a new division within the courthouse for just a unified domestic relations court. And being the first judge, one of the first things I did was look around the state of Ohio to see how did other counties do it? What did other judges do? What programs do they have? And what I discovered is almost every county is different and unique in what is considered domestic relations or family law. For example, Marion County has a family law court, and that handles probate and handles what you generally think of domestic relations and also juvenile court. In Delaware County, we are a DR1 court, which means we are a domestic relations court that handles marriage issues like divorce, dissolution, and also the non-married issues of custody and visitation and child support. So every county does it a little bit differently of how they shape what is domestic relations. But generally speaking, domestic relations courts handle anything that is going to do with the termination of marriage or dealing with the rights and responsibilities of children.
Okay, thank you. Magistrate Flores, what are some of the sad or frustrating things that you see in domestic relations cases?
Boy, that list is pretty long. I think the one that really keeps me up at night is children who are being used as, you know, property instead of being children. And parents are more concerned about their own wins than thinking about the child. The hardest cases for me were taking children away from their parents, because I know kids need both parents, but It's the worst ones are where kids are being abused or not taken care of or neglected. And we see a lot of that because parents are too busy trying to win. And there's no win here. It's, you know, who gets what? Ohio's an equitable state. So we get as close to 50-50 as we can, but you can't cut a kid in half. So it used to be that we fought about the house and the cars. And now the big fight is about children. And who loses? The children.
Mm-hmm. All right. So our topic today is neutral evaluation. And many people are, I think, familiar with mediation as a form of dispute resolution, but they may not have heard of neutral evaluation. Judge Fuller, what is neutral evaluation and how does it work?
A neutral evaluation is a form of dispute resolution. On the dispute resolution spectrum, it's somewhere between mediation and arbitration. Every court can kind of set up its own program and fine tweak it. But if I could share first a little bit of why I'm so interested in neutral evaluations.
Please.
Before I became a judge in private practice, I had a case where, but it was a post-decree matter where I represented one of the parents and another attorney represented the other. And we tried to get the case resolved. We started off sending letters back and forth, sending proposals. We then started having telephone conversations between the attorneys trying to work out a resolution. We even went so far as having the attorneys and the clients in the same room sitting around a conference table discussing how we could resolve this one issue that the parties could not get beyond. And after spending a lot of time trying to do that, we could not get to a resolution. So the court being the ultimate arbiter of disputes, we filed our motions, went up to Marion County before Judge Alsbaugh, who I think was one of the leaders in Ohio for neutral evaluations. And Judge Alsbaugh very politely suggested in a very judicial manner that we should try neutral evaluation. Back then it was called early neutral evaluation, but when Judge Alsbaugh suggested something, usually you followed along with her suggestion. So we, even though we didn't want to do the neutral evaluation, we wanted just to go to court and have the court make the decision because we didn't think the neutral evaluation process was going to be helpful. So we went through the whole neutral evaluation process, which I'll get to in a second as far as how the nuts and bolts of it. But we went through that whole process. Both parties had an opportunity to identify what the issues were and why their side should be the side that the panel agreed with. The attorney spoke briefly. The panel may ask excellent questions. It was clear that they understood what the issues in the case were. The panel caucused. And then they came back and reported to us that they were kind of at a standstill. They would do either option A or option B, but it all depended upon one fact. And we kind of scratched our heads and said, that's exactly where we were at before neutral evaluation. And so we kind of talked a little bit more to see if we could make any headroom. And ultimately, you'd have to classify, quote unquote, the neutral evaluation as not successful. However, because we went through that neutral evaluation process, because both parties were able to be heard in a court-like setting, after the neutral evaluation was concluded, we met with our clients and the attorneys talked, and we were able to come up with a resolution that was nowhere within the scope of what we were looking at prior to the neutral evaluation. But it really made us put on our thinking caps and think of how can we look outside of the box to figure out a solution to this? Because both parties, I think, going in thought, my case is a winner. I'm going to win this. It's going to be easy. But when they heard from the neutral evaluation panel, this could go either way. It's a really tough call. It made both of them, I think, look at the case again and really reopen the possibility of settlement. So even when neutral evaluations, again, quote unquote, fail or aren't successful, I think they can provide a tremendous benefit. And in that case, we were able to get full resolution and prevent what was going to be an extremely expensive trial based on the fact that we went through the neutral evaluation. But to get back to your original question, as far as the nuts and bolts of neutral evaluations, the process begins in Delaware County, and Magistrate Flores can certainly talk to how they do it in Hamilton County. But the process begins when the magistrate orders the parties to the neutral evaluation. We require them to complete forms to give information to the neutral evaluators. The way we do it in Delaware is we have two panel members. One is a magistrate and the other one is a professional neutral. It is either, if it's a child custody or visitation case, it's a mental health professional. If it is a financial case, it would be a forensic accountant. And both the magistrate that hears the neutral evaluation, who is a different magistrate than who would hear the case in court. It's a separate magistrate, but the magistrate and the, let's assume it's a child custody case, the magistrate and the mental health professional would serve as a panel. Each side is given, each party is given 15 minutes to give their statement of what the issues are and why the evaluators should decide in their favor. We have the attorneys, if they are represented, the attorneys are given 5 minutes to kind of do a summary or catch anything that the parties may have missed to present to the panelists. And the panel asks questions of the parties to get information. And then after all the information is collected, the panel caucuses and discusses what the probable outcome with court is. And then they go back into the session with the parties and the attorneys, if they're represented, and tell them what the recommendation is as far as what is the likely outcome at court. And the mental health professional also is able to explain why this outcome is in the best interest of the minor children.
And if I could add to Judge Fuller, there's something called a continuum of dispute resolution. And it starts with just sitting over the table and going back and forth, no assistance. The next step would be a mediator who sits and actually guides the conversation. And neutral evaluation kind of fits right between mediation and further investigations, further trials, further motions. So the clients or the litigants have an opportunity to express their needs. This is a confidential proceeding, so there's no notes kept or taken. And it offers an opportunity for somebody to say, this is what I want. And then for the magistrate and the mental health professional to say the likelihood of that outcome, it's not going to win. So let's try and craft something that takes both needs into an agreement that you can move on with and possibly dismiss your case. So it is a hybrid of a lot of different theories about dispute resolution and a lot of ways to help parents understand what their responsibilities are. But it also works in the civil realm too. You could have somebody who's had a small case, and in a civil realm, the attorney would say, you know, this is what the law says, and the likelihood of you succeeding in getting the $100 million is not going to happen. And so let's try and talk about something else. I love the process because it has so many facets to it. Do you do mediation, Judge Fuller, after you've given your evaluation?
Yes, after the evaluators have given their recommendation, they kind of switch hats a little bit to more of a mediator facilitator type of role of trying to figure out how they can help the parties come to an agreement along the lines of where the recommendation was. And the one thing I'd also echo what Magistrate Flores said is, I think the ability of somebody to be able to say what they want to say, to be heard in, even though it's not open court being recorded, we're all attorneys here and we know what court versus this is. It's not a court proceeding, but it has the feeling of a court where the magistrate is sitting there wearing a robe. Now, we started, the very first one we did was in person. Everyone since then has been virtually because of the pandemic.
Right.
But it really allows people going through the system to be heard by a magistrate in a pretty short period of time to have their case kind of given an opinion about their case and recommendations about their case. And they know that they've said what they've wanted to say. The court has heard what they wanted the court to hear. They may not like what the ultimate outcome is, but at least they're heard. And I think that's very important.
I will share one case that I had where the dad had never been around little kids. Okay, so his baby was the first baby he had been around. We know there's lots of families like that. And so he didn't have the sense of throwing away dirty diapers or rinsing out used bottles. So what the mental health professional who was with me provided is some resources for dad to learn about parenting. And so those are the benefits, because from the bench, we're not going to be able to say, and by the way, go to the ABC School of Co-parenting, or, you know, it provides other options and resources for some of these folks who are struggling.
Sounds like you get the best of both worlds, because you get to hear from the magistrate, the, you know, somebody who's in charge telling you this is probably how your case is going to come out. But then you also get all the benefits from mediation side, which is really kind of solving your own dispute, not just having that person decide. So you get to know what that decision might be, but then you still get to work it out with the insider information.
So that's right. Pretty cool. And with the information from the neutral professional, like, for example, right. The mental health worker, not only do you get to hear this is what the court's likely to do, you get to hear why the court's likely to do that and why that's in the best interest of the minor child. So it's not the court doesn't care. The court doesn't listen. The mental health professional is able to say, this is why it's in the child's best interest, and address those concerns.
Mm-hmm. And it is not because we don't swear anybody in and we have no recordings going. I think that when you can speak confidentially, you're more likely to be more candid. You're more likely to truly share the story, and you're not auditioning or on stage or anything. And so I think that helps people talk about what they need to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that process, because it is confidential and because the evaluators cannot be subpoenaed to court, and I tell them, as soon as this is over, I'm shredding my notes. So there's nothing for them to get to. You know, it's just, I can't remember this. I can't remember. And I will say one of the nice things about neutral evaluation in this new era is that we had a couple people try to pull out because they just a failed screen because they were fearful of being in the same room with somebody. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the benefits, is mm-hmm. that even in the new world, either with neutral evaluation or with mediation, is when you're all separated.
Yeah, safer.
You cannot say, I can't do this because this other person's in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you get too scared, you turn off your camera. you just disconnect. It's easier than leaving court. Yeah, for sure. Magistrate Flores, what's the history of neutral evaluation? When do we start hearing about this as a process in dispute resolution?
In 1980, believe it or not, it started in California with a group of attorneys in the San Francisco, it was the Northern District of California. A group of attorneys decided, let's try this. And they kind of tweaked it. And it was really an opportunity like a pretrial. What is the likelihood of success? What is the likely outcome? We've had our program since 2013. So in the early 2000s, Hennepin County started to bring some of these processes in. And so it's been around for a while in many different kinds of law. I think family law is one of the better ways because it's not a single issue. We're not a single issue court. Nobody comes in with just one thing. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful to kind of go through the litany of issues that need to be resolved. But it can work in a civil environment.
All right. So let's talk about neutral evaluation programs in courts. And Magistrate Flores, how did you get that program off the ground in Hamilton County? How did you educate people there to want to use a program like this?
Well, I'll step back to say when we were bringing mediation into Ohio, the biggest pushback we would get was from attorneys saying, hey, you're trying to take my work away from me. Hey, you're not involving me in this decision. And so knowing that, and knowing that we didn't want pushback from the attorneys, we brought the program down. We brought a number of the attorneys who are constantly in our court with various cases, very good DR attorneys. And we showed it to them. We work with the Bar Association. We also did a pilot program. So for 6 or 9 months, we let them come in for free just to do neutral evaluation. But working with the Bar Association, I believe this with this process was the key, because they understood we weren't trying to take their jobs away from them. In fact, we need them to come in and present the case and present their clients. And we need them to be involved in the process. There was never any intention to cut any attorney out of court processes. So that's what we did. We worked with the Bar Association, did pilot programs, did presentations here in our courtroom and our courthouse to try and engage as many people as we could.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to hear from you next. You know, what did you do to get started, and what benefits have you seen from putting a program of neutral evaluation in place?
Well, we're just at the beginning phase. We had our very first neutral evaluation right before the lockdown started, or the COVID quarantine started. And that one was in person. It was exactly how we imagined it, arranged in actually used a hearing room, because we don't have a dedicated space yet for the neutral evaluation program. And it was a good learning experience, I think, for everybody involved. But during our pilot program, after our first one, COVID hit, and then we had to move to everything virtually. We are in what Roz calls a pilot program phase. Every case that we've done thus far has been free of charge to the parties. And we have had very good success so far. I didn't anticipate our pilot program lasting over a year, but I didn't anticipate COVID either. So that has kind of slowed down our rollout of the program, but we're just getting to the point where I think we're looking at September possibly of having our CLE for the bar to be able to attend. I kept thinking, well, if I wait another month or two, we'll be able to do it in person, and kind of that hasn't worked out well for us. So now we're looking at doing it either do a virtual CLE or do a hybrid. We're not sure yet, but I completely agree with what Magistrate Flores has said as far as rolling it out with the bar. This is something that should be inclusive with the bar, and that they want to participate in, because they can help their clients. They can get them to a settlement in a process that they're involved with. So I'm thinking we're going to have a pretty good success with the local bar, because in the pilot program that we've had so far, the attorneys have been right on board, wanting to participate, wanting to learn about the process, and think that the process makes a lot of sense. What we're seeing in Delaware County, if you go to trial on a domestic case, it's a multi-day thing. There's not a half day trial or even a day long trial with most of these cases. They seem to last at least 3 or 4 days and can stretch. I'm working on one where that we're doing objection to magistrate's decision on that is, I think it was a 7 or 8 or 9 day trial. So the neutral evaluation process, it can be done in several hours or a half a day compared to multiple days of litigation. And that litigation isn't good for anybody, except maybe they always joke the it's only good for the attorneys. I'd say sometimes good for judges and magistrates, because we enjoy hearing trials and doing that sort of work. But that going to a trial, the expense that's involved with it, just the amount of adversarial process that you're going through is not good for families that are going to have to be families, whether not married, but still families, still mom and dad for these kids, well after the trial has been had. And I think the attorneys see that and know that, and it's much better to get these cases resolved. And I think we'll see a lot of buy-in into the program.
And I would like to add too that it's a great marketing tool for attorneys, because Judge Fuller, you and I know people are always saying, what attorney is going to get me through the fastest? What attorney does this? And gives many qualifiers. So if you have attorneys who have bought into a neutral evaluation program and get people through the process sooner rather than later, those attorneys will be marketed, the whisper campaigns that go on when people say, hey, who did this? Who do you think? I think it's a great marketing tool for attorneys to be able to say, we can get over this one issue, or we can talk about many issues, but let's at least try and get this done so that you can go back, get your merits hearing, and everybody can begin to heal, children up to parents. And I think that's one of the benefits of these kinds of programs.
Right. Who would want to drag out a divorce any longer than it needs to be? Oh my gosh, what a stressful time in your life. Can you use neutral evaluation? Can it resolve sometimes maybe one issue and then you might have a shorter trial on some other of the merits? Can it wrap up maybe one or two issues?
Absolutely. I mean, usually the way we have ours set up is there's two different types of neutral evaluations that you can have. You can have the child neutral evaluation or the kid issue ones, or you can have the financial. And it requires two different neutrals to be in the room. Again, a forensic accountant as opposed to a mental health professional. So oftentimes you may get a settlement through neutral evaluation for all the custody visitation issues, but not the financials. And so now you're only going to trial on just the financials. And that can speed up the trial process tremendously by not having to litigate all of the children's issues. And the opposite is true. Maybe they'll be able to resolve the financial issues, but not agree on the custody or visitation schedule. And so you can absolutely or resolve part of your case and not all of your case.
Well, and I think the financial piece, which we added when I started this department, helps. Sometimes one party or the other is not involved in the finances at all. And so the brief at least kind of says, you know, this is what we have. And sometimes it's new information, you know, but at least, again, it's in a confidential environment where they can talk about their finances. They can talk about, you know, what they have, what they don't have. I know one couple recently got everything done in the financial, got most done in the parenting issue, and then they just ended up going to a mediator to tweak a couple of things in the shared parenting plan. So it can be used in one or many issues, I think.
Magistrate Flores, let's talk about some courts who might be thinking about getting a neutral evaluation program off the ground. Are there some challenges or barriers that they should be aware could pop up when they're trying to get this started?
I think there will always be challenges based on the bar. I think that having magistrates and mental health folks or forensic people, that could be a challenge, and perhaps a rural county doesn't have that kind of ability. I think the size of the county is going to determine how successful your program is going to be, because you'll have a pool of people from which to draw and come in and do this kind of work. We were fortunate in Hamilton County because we have custody evaluators here. So that did the mental health piece for us. And then when we do financials, we do two magistrates who are used to hearing that kind of testimony to be able to help the financial piece. But I think it has to be something that you, as the person marketing the program, says, this is going to help, and here is how it is. And you really have to know your community to know how you're going to be able to be beneficial to help them move through the divorce process as quickly and as painlessly, if that's possible, as possible.
All right. So do we think that neutral evaluation should be mandatory or optional?
Judge, you want to say?
I'll be happy. I've never seen you at a loss for words for that long. I was impressed. Good question, Kate. Personally, a couple different answers to that question. I think ultimately it needs to be mandated in an order of the court to do the neutral evaluation process. I don't think every case should go through the neutral evaluation process. There are cases that there are probably better ways to get it resolved. So I kind of see it as a ladder approach or a menu approach of what does this case need to get resolution. Neutral evaluation used to be called early neutral evaluation. And they would try to do the evaluation early on in the case. I didn't really like that idea because a lot of domestic relations cases, you may have to do intensive discovery before you are able to settle a case, or you may need to appoint a guardian ad litem to investigate the case before you can get to a point where you're talking as far as settlement. So I don't think every case should need to go through neutral evaluation. I think there's mediation. I think there's other forms of dispute resolution that can be just as beneficial, if not more beneficial, in different cases. But ultimately, if the parties are going to go through it and their court involved, I think it needs to be a court ordered. Taking a step back, and this is something I learned on my time with the Ohio chapter of the AFCC, I didn't realize before we were having a meeting once that people could do private neutral evaluations. You don't have to have court involvement. You can have an attorney sitting in the place of the magistrate who would be the legal expert that would be telling the parties this is a likely outcome of court. So clearly, if you're doing it outside of the court, it doesn't need to be court ordered. But when you're going through the system, the way we do things and the way I think is best, you can't order people to resolve their disputes, but you can order them to try to resolve their disputes. So whether it's going through mediation or it's going through neutral evaluation, we make that a court order.
I agree, because I think when it is coming through the court, it has to have some oomph behind it with an order. And our court used to do something called, I've dropped the program, so I can't even remember the name, but you were at 45 days after filing and they threw you into mediation. Well, most people 45 days after filing, they don't know what couch they're sleeping on. They don't know where they're going. And so those failed. It was called early intervention mediation. Those failed miserably. Maybe you got 45% were able to move through the process. But the problem is that you need to make sure that you sell it. The judicial officer has to sell the program, say, here's a chance for you to get this done and avoid a three-day trial. So we spend a lot of time talking to our judicial officers so they understand the program, so that they can sell it and say, I'm going to prepare an order, you're going to go through this process, and hopefully you can get this resolved. Because and I was happy when they dropped the early, just for that reason, that people don't know, you know, they're trying to figure out what their electric bill is and who's going to take the kid to ballet. And now we're throwing them in a process that they don't understand. So I'm happier with the neutral evaluation. I'm also happy with an order, because if you have somebody who says, well, I'm not going to go, well, then we've got a problem. And I think the order helps give a little extra nudge to get there and try and resolve their issues.
What kind of qualifications do you need to have to become a neutral evaluator? What kind of training do you need? What's the requirements to be a neutral evaluator?
And this is a perfect question for Magistrate Flores, because she's, I think, on the committee setting up those guidelines.
What we like to see is that you've taken fundamentals of mediation, because that's going to train you about listening and seeing and all the active listening. Then you take a domestic abuse training through the Supreme Court, and then you take the specialized family and divorce mediation training, which is 4 days. So there's a lot of understanding of what families, family structure, family development, all of that is important, I think, to be a neutral evaluator. So having a law degree or the background as a magistrate or a judge or whoever's doing your neutral evaluations helps with the actual legal part. And then because most of the people have gone through all that training, they can then provide, if they're, you know, custody evaluators, MHPs of some nature, mental health professionals, that's what they're able to provide, that piece of information. And then the Supreme Court also offers a course once a year, a 4-hour course once a year on seeing the process, looking at the film, seeing how it actually works.
I would say another practical consideration we need to talk about, in addition to having neutral evaluators, is a local rule. So do courts need a local rule to have a neutral evaluation program?
I will jump in here, because prior to, I'm going to say 2021, you could still have a program. I always believe you need to have a local rule to kind of give some guidance as to what the expectations are of the court and the attorneys and the clients. The Commission on Dispute Resolution is now hammering out the last of a neutral, I think it's going to be Rule 16, Rule of Superintendents for neutral evaluation. And in order to have the program, much like parenting coordination, you have to have a local rule.
And both of your courts have local rules. Could people go to your website and look at your local rule if they need a sample?
Yes.
I think yours probably does too, Judge Fuller.
We haven't adopted our neutral evaluation local rule yet. We've been just placing it in the court orders when we order it. Mm-hmm. But when we do have it, because we have it drafted, you'll be surprised at how similar it is to Hamilton County. Magistrate Flores has been very generous, and the judges down in Hamilton County have been very generous in letting us use samples, whether it be forms or whether it be local rules. But they've been fantastic to work with.
That's great. And speaking of forms, Magistrate Flores, your court uses a form called the Parenting Perspective Brief. Can you tell us how that's used?
And there's a companion to that one. There's a Financial Perspective Brief.
Okay.
So those briefs take a snapshot of where they are. So each side fills out the brief. There's a hopes and wishes section where you kind of say, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I want. It takes a look so that we minimize the interview portion of any kind of conversation. You know, who lives where, who's in your household, just the basic questions. Do the kids go to school? How old are they? What kind of support do you have? So the parenting perspective brief kind of talks about everything about parenting and where they are, what school the children go to. Do they have a lovey that they like to take everywhere? And then the financial brief is the same kind of thing. It says, do you have checking accounts? And it mirrors a lot of the property statements or the property settlements, because it talks about, do you have property, real estate? Do you have cars? Do you have joint accounts? Do you have stocks and bonds? And so that gives the evaluators an opportunity to take a look and see what they're working with. And we require those briefs probably 2 weeks before the schedule, so we can take a look and make questions and kind of highlight things that are important. But it's just a snapshot. And that's really, it just helps the evaluators get on board with where that family is at that time.
And those are really important, because we have a similar thing. And I know the evaluators do look at those closely. And it does help them to know this stuff ahead of time. So when they're walking into the neutral evaluation, they aren't walking in cold. They have some idea of what the parties have identified as the issues are and where they need to focus on.
And I know that Hamilton County's dispute resolution page has those forms that are used by their domestic relations court. So if you need to be inspired, anyone out there listening, I would encourage you to check out their resources. All right. So I want to give you guys a chance. Is there anything that we didn't talk today about neutral evaluation that you think people need to know before they embark on this program, or to inspire them to investigate this further?
One of the things I would suggest to people is, when we were looking at whether or not we were going to create a neutral evaluation program, because I'd been through it in private practice and I liked it, but I wanted to make sure that it was a good fit for our county. And some of the things I looked at were like our caseload and what other forms of dispute resolution were we offering either by the court or out in the community. We had to weigh whether or not to use a magistrate in that role or use an attorney in that role. Personally, and where I came down on was, a magistrate is a better fit because they're able to actually wear a robe and give a more of a presence of the court during the neutral evaluation proceeding. But you also have to look at like how you're going to set up the room. The one we did in person, we used a courtroom. That's not ideal, at least the way in my mind of how a neutral evaluation should be performed. But that's all we had, and we worked with it, and we're able to get resolution. You also have to look at funding, because the other professional, the non-magistrate professional, is going to need to be compensated. So will you compensate them through court cost, or is there funds available to pay for them, or how's that going to do? But if you're really serious after looking at these different issues of wanting to start a neutral evaluation program, I would strongly recommend first talk to people that do it. Mm-hmm. Second, take Magistrate Flores's class that she does at the Supreme Court, or maybe virtual now, I don't know, but I attended that and it was very educational. And then go observe them. go to another court that does them. Look at it, see how the process works, and see if it's right for the jurisdiction that you're in. But I can tell you, for Delaware County, it's a perfect fit. We have enough magistrates to be able to make it work. In smaller counties where you only have one DR magistrate, it may be difficult because that magistrate could not do the neutral evaluation because they're the magistrate on the case. So you might have to work with another county or use an attorney instead of a magistrate. So there's a whole lot of factors to look at. But I really believe that the neutral evaluation process is beneficial to the people going through our court system, to the families of Ohio. When you look at the amount of time savings, cost savings going to trial, you get to actually feel like you've been heard by the court instead of attorneys just going and talking to the court and pre-trials and something like that. And so you have your voices being heard. And I think that's such a tremendous part of the neutral evaluation process, is to be heard and then to have the court personnel address you specifically. And then combine that with the neutral mental health professional who can say why it's in the kid's best interest. I think it is a win-win-win for everybody involved in the system. And I strongly encourage people to take a look at it because I think it is a great form of dispute resolution.
And since we have gone past the faxing and that kind of lifestyle, I say pick up the phone and call somebody and say, talk to me about your program, or email me about your program, and be creative. I had done a presentation up in northeastern Ohio that had only like one or two magistrates. And I said, well, are there attorneys who have a good rapport, reputation within the bar? Perhaps they could be the law side of a neutral evaluation. And then you tap into your mental health professionals, your social workers, your counselors, and with some training, they would be able to do a tag team. We generally will also try a man-woman combination, because I've heard criticism that there are always women in the room. And so this way, with the evaluators being a man or a woman, obviously it would change if it was a same-sex marriage, but it would be an opportunity to kind of try and even the playing field. But be creative. You know, smaller counties offer different challenges, but they also offer opportunities to be more creative. And I think if you start this, ask questions. I know I said that to Judge Fuller 100 times if I said it once. If you got questions, call me. I will try and help as best I can. And there are probably, let's see, Claremont County was doing neutral evaluation. They just changed judges, so I don't know if that program is up and running. I know Warren County has the program, Delaware, you know, Hamilton County, but just call around or call the Supreme Court and say, who can I call about this information? I know Magistrate Altman, I think he's in Henry County. You know, call and ask for, can I have 15 minutes of your time? Can you explain the program? Or email the person, because we are all like to share, so we're all helping everybody.
And I can tell you, even outside of the neutral evaluation, before I became judge, actually, I started calling around to different courts to get information. And every court I called, every judge I talked to was more than willing to help me in any way they could to provide information, whether it be me going to the court, reviewing their programs, or just talking on the phone or now via Zoom. I think the vast majority of people out there are happy to help in any way they can. Mm-hmm. So pick up the call or make a Zoom call or whatever it takes to start talking to people about these programs.
All right, we're reaching the end here, but there's a bit that I like to do at the end of every podcast, and it's called Two for Me and One for You. There'll be two questions for you, the presenters, and one question that you will have for our listening audience as a kind of pop quiz to see if they were paying attention today. So the first question is, what is an interesting and relatively brief mediation or neutral evaluation related story you can share? I'll go first to Judge Fuller.
Well, we have settlement week in Delaware County, where twice a year we have private mediators come into the court and do mediation on cases. And so we are going through that. Actually, this week we're having our settlement week virtually. But about 2 years ago, I walked in the mediation while they're taking a break and said, hey, how's it going? And the mediator said, well, we're making great progress. We're only $1.4 million apart. And everybody in the room was happy by that because they started at $15 million apart. So they were making great progress, and it kind of lets you, puts everything into perspective. But I always laugh at thinking that only $1.4 million apart.
What's that between friends, really?
Exactly.
All right, Magistrate Flores.
I would like to share, I think, one of my favorite neutral evaluation stories. We had the father, and I'm not picking on men, but the father was in the cycle of recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. And he really loved his kids. I mean, he started crying when he talked about his kids. So she was not trusting, obviously, because she was always afraid that he might have gotten off the wagon, I guess is what the term is. And so through neutral evaluation, we were able to hear both of them. And you know, he turned to her and say, please, I want to see our children. And she said, but you have to understand that you've had problems. And we all also know that relapse is part of recovery in the addiction world. So what we were able through this process to then help them build a stair-step agreement. So we gave him 3 months to continue his sobriety. And then we had steps where if he came, he could start to see the children a little bit. And then if he came to the door and she felt he was impaired, she could deny parenting time and he would go immediately to drug screening. If he was negative, she paid and paid double back. She paid for the time, gave him his time back. And if he was positive, obviously, then he would start back at the beginning again, going through all his steps. I don't think you would have reached that resolution in a court, of, you know, in just a basic open court. This way, we were helped give them a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I always check on that family in the court to see if they ever came back, but they never came back. So the solution was something they could have never obtained in a courtroom. And it was a solution that helped them move forward in their own lives.
That's very positive. I love that story. All right. So who is an amazing person you know related to the field of dispute resolution, and why do you appreciate them? We'll go to Magistrate Flores first for this one.
My person who I appreciate is deceased, but it is the late Chief Justice Moyer. He brought to this state a way and a means to be able to help families and to help litigation with bringing all the county courts and saying, hey, we've got to help these people. You know, when doors close, windows open. And so he's somebody who I find I would have loved to have spent an hour just talking to him and figuring out where he got his mindset.
Very good. Thank you. And Judge Fuller.
Okay, when you think of like the legends in different areas, whether it be basketball or entertainment, you think of the legends that have just known by one name. Whether it be in Supreme Court podcasting, the name Kate goes out there. Whether it's basketball, you think Michael or LeBron, if, you know, and celebrities, Cher or Madonna or Oprah. In Ohio dispute resolution, the person that owns that title is Roz. Or Magistrate Flores. She is a tremendous asset to the Ohio. Hamilton County should be very proud of all the work that she's done in that county and throughout the state. She has helped me tremendously, and I know a lot of other people around the state in developing dispute resolution programs. So to answer your question, I think there's really only one answer, and that is Roz.
Thank you.
The reason I say that is because she's awesome.
She sure is.
Okay, now it's time to give the audience a knowledge check. What's a pop quiz question they should be able to answer after listening to your podcast? Who wants to be the teacher?
I'll ask this question. It's a true or false. Neutral evaluation can only be used in family law.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, any closing words from either of you before we sign off today?
Do you have a question, Judge Fuller, that you want to ask our group?
I don't think so, is there?
Kate has the answer already, so she knows what it is.
I know all the answers. I listen very carefully to your podcast. I can answer that question. I'm not giving
away
the answer.
I learned long ago when she was a prosecutor. Just whatever Kate said, she's always right.
See, I love you as a guest, Judge Fuller. This is great. It's good for my ego to have you on this today. All right. Well, that's a wrap for today. A huge thank you to Judge Randall Fuller and Magistrate Roz Flores for explaining this type of dispute resolution so well. And thank you to all of you listening. I hope you will join us for the next episode of the Civility and Solutions podcast. Until then, keep working for justice.